This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You
alone, said it, but he's actually the pastor, but he looks like he's still on holiday, so we'll give him that holiday. He was actually supposed to be in Swakopmund this weekend, but as for circumstances changing, he decided to stay, he will not be bringing the word this morning. So, but we're looking forward to next week, and then he'll be back on his post, and we'll be receiving from him. So looking forward, JP. To those of you that I've not greeted yet, Mariska, nice to see you. I almost didn't recognize you now. We went on an outreach a long time ago, it feels now, to Zambia. What an awesome time we had. Now seeing the face, now we have all the recollections and all the good times. So welcome to everybody that I've not greeted yet. I still have a long year yet, so we'll still say hello. And we're looking forward to spending time with you and spending time in the Word. And such an awesome privilege to bring you the Word today. And pray that the Lord will bless you and His Word will just lift your heart and prepare you for what He has destined for you for this year. Let's just close our eyes. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for the word, Lord God, that you want to bring to your people today, Father, that it is alive, Lord God, that it wants to change people's hearts and mindsets, Lord God, that you want to bring about something different in every person's heart, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, that your word is so powerful, Lord, and it will change our way of thinking, it will change our way of living, and it will truly impact our lives, Father, once we just grasp it, understand it, and believe it, Father. And it's so many times, it's so difficult, Lord God, when we have to stand in faith, Lord God, for so many things, but there's just a whole book of testimonies of people standing in faith for a promise that you gave them, Lord God. When you look from the beginning of the Old Testament up until the end of Revelation, Father, there are so many promises from you through your word, Father, for your people. And those promises are reliable, Lord God, and it's something that we can trust in and put our hopes in and believe in, Father. Because that's the testimony of what we have, Lord, within our hearts. And it's just a privilege of knowing you, Father God. So we pray, Father, that your name will be lifted high within this place, Lord God. That let the words that I speak, Father, be from your heart and be from your spirit. And may it find entrance into the hearts of your people, Lord God. And truly bring about a change. And just express that love that you feel towards them in every aspect of their beings. Lord, we love you and declare you as Lord and in this place, and Holy Spirit, come and dwell in this place and give us that true place where we can just connect with the Father through you, and you give us that amazing ability to connect with Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, this being a new year and a new day, it always feels like there's something different to the first part of January in that week. There's so many things that you just feel, okay, now, I feel something different. I have an expectation. There's something I want to try that's new. Maybe there's a weight loss program that you want to start that's been in the cupboard now for a few years. JP, that wetsuit, you said it's a bit tight. It's good to go. Okay, we can still go. Well, we had some discussions. A good holiday. And that's just a part of what is so amazing about a new year. But also daunting, because many times you look back over the past years like I have now, and I think of all the promises and commitments I've made at the beginning of the year, and then 4 years down the line, you look back and say, but that never materialized. I never achieved what I wanted to achieve. So that sometimes is a negative effect as well, because now you look back at your past mistakes and your past failings, and you're looking forward and say, but how will I do this? How can I change this? So that's that joy and excitement and that fear and dread that's both in the same entity inside of us, and that sort of, we have to decide what we're going to do with that. And many times there's so much troubles that we go through in our lives that we sometimes get dejected and we just think, but how is this year going to be any different from last year? How are things going to change? I don't see, Lord, what is before me. Because we lose that connection with God. We lose that way of connecting with God and having faith in what He tells us. And that's the most important thing about God, is that He is wanting to talk with us. He's wanting to engage with us. He's wanting to give us so much more than we could ever expect or imagine. But we have that roof above us that we limit God and say, but I think God can only go that high. And you did not ask God, but above the ceiling, but God, what do you want to do? What do you want to change? And it's easy to get trapped in that way of thinking, that worldly thinking, because this is the scenario, this is the place that we live at, this is where we face our daily struggles. And it's not to be super spiritual that we are always full of joy and always perfect, and we're Christians, but we're still human. We still make mistakes. We still sin. We still miss the mark that God has set before us. But it should not disqualify us from looking with hope to the future as well. Because there's an amazing part in Scripture where it speaks of faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these that abides in us is love. And that's the thing that God wants to give us, is that gift, that we have the faith to see the future, that we have a hope of accomplishing what He wants to do within us. And we can do it in love because we receive the grace, we've received the mercy. Even though we might fall, even though we will fall, it's not a question of if, it's just a question of when. Because we are broken vessels, we are broken, we are making mistakes on a daily basis, well, at least I am. If I look past in the holiday and I think, oh God, I should have spent more time with You. I should have read my Bible more. I should have done this. I should not have gotten angry with the kids. And sometimes you just lose it. This holiday I lost a few times and I have to go to the boys and say, sorry boys, Dad lost his temper, and we went fishing. So when a man is fishing, he's focused and he wants to do a certain thing. He wants to catch the fish. He wants to catch the biggest one. And now I'm there with the boys and I've got three of them and they all want to do something else. This one wants to eat. This one wants to go there and catch a fish, and he wants to go and ride the dunes with a boogie board or something like that. We went to Enties Bay, for those of you that cannot make the next step of my analogy, but what a privilege. But it just became too much for me at one point to be, and I just said, stop, go play over there. And then after a while, I started to relax and breathe and realize, but fishing is not that important. So I stopped everything, I packed everything up, I said, okay, where do you guys want to go? What dune do you want to go ride? Let's go there. I saw a dune there. So we went there, we rode the dune, and we had lots of fun. And it's sometimes important just to stop and say, but what am I busy with? Is it really important? It might be important to you, but to the people around you, it might be hurting them or even negatively impacting them because you want to do it in your way. And God just intervenes and says, but that still small voice and say, what are you busy with? What are you doing? How are you impacting their lives? Do you think it's positive? And then you have to just say, sorry, Lord. I missed the mark again. I apologize. And then you have to just turn back to God and say, God, what next? How can I change? What must I change? Sometimes it's just an approach. Sometimes it's just saying a simple word of, sorry, I made a mistake. Please forgive me. And there's still that amazing change that comes through that. But such is life. Life is not easy. I read a book once by Scott Peck, a psychologist. And the first sentence in that book was that life is difficult. The sooner you accept this, the easier it will become. And I think all of us can testify of that. And even Jesus spoke of it in John 16, verse 33. I have spoken these things to you so that you might have peace in me. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And that's the amazing part as a Christian, that we have a Lord that has overcome the world. We don't have to be caught up in the mindsets or the living, the way that we are living. It can be changed. It can be changed in an instant. And that's the amazing God that we serve, that He wants to be involved if you allow Him. You determine your response towards Him and His influence upon your life. But it's not always easy. As a Christian, you can testify of many things you go through in life that you get caught up in. And then you just feel, but where's God? Where's God in this place? Where's God in this scenario? How can it be that I stand in faith for a living God that is supposed to give me joy and peace, but I'm not experiencing that? I don't feel His love. I don't experience His peace, His joy that the Word is testifying of. And so many times we completely miss the mark, and we as human beings then tend to focus on the negative and forget the promises of God. The words of God that is spoken in truth for us. And we'll get to that a bit later. But that is the thing. There will be tribulations that we face on a daily basis. Some people, harder tribulations. Other people might be going, you might be sitting here relaxed and feel, I had an awesome holiday. What's wrong with you guys? Why so morbid? Why so? Other people might have really had a tough holiday. Especially during Christmas when you lose a loved one. It really impacts your life. And there are things that really hits home. It gets to the heart of you, and then the questions come. Well, at least in my life. And you ask, am I doing enough? And if you look at the news, all the economic crisis upon crisis upon crisis, political turmoil, rumors of war everywhere, natural disasters everywhere, it's easy to get lost and think, but God, what are we living for? What are we living towards? What is happening here? And then the question becomes, what is the impact I'm doing, Father, to this world? Is there something I'm changing? Do I have an effect? Do I have an impact that is actually building your kingdom? And these questions are not new. Many of you have asked them already. Or is it just me? Just me, okay. I'm guilty. I have to confess my sins. But that's the amazing part of what God's Word is all about. Because there are so many examples in His Word that He actually speaks of this, and we'll be getting to the Word part just now. And it speaks of normal, everyday people. Because many times I look at the Word and I look at Jesus, and Jesus is way above anything I can ever dream to achieve. Because it's a standard that's so high. So perfect. But we have to still strive for that perfection, that perfect love. Because that is something that is who we are as Christians. We are supposed to be that light, to be that life to the world. And it cannot be Reinald that's standing in front of people saying, life is great. Because Reinald will be lying. Because the only way that I can do that is if I say, but I've got a King and a Savior and a Lord that holds promise before me of life everlasting. And in that I put my trust. And it's in my testimony that my heart is shown to you that speaks of the love of a God and a Father that wants to be everything for us, show us everything, but we have that limitation. Trying to ignore God sometimes. God is telling you something to go to the right and we go to the left. Even though you clearly heard His voice. Because you question yourself. You question that voice. Is it truly God speaking to me? And that's part of what this life, this real life that we are living is happening. And we have to make those daily choices of what we're going to do, how we will react. And what are my choices? Sometimes you don't even have a choice. You just want to sit there and suck an as an Afrikaans and you just want to get a hold of yourself. There's no way for God to actually reach you in that place. Unless God really comes to someone and say, hey, it's going to be okay. God has a plan. And it's not, he's not against you, he's for you. And he loves you so much more than you will ever understand and comprehend. But have you experienced that love? Do you know that love? Let's just read from John 11. It's quite a long piece. From verse 1 to 45. And there was a certain sick one, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. And it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with anointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Then his sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard, he said, this sickness is not to death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God might be glorified by it. And Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. Therefore, when he had heard that he was sick, then indeed he remained 2 days in the place where he was. Then after that, he said to the disciples, let us go into Judea again, Judea. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews lately have sought to stone you, and do you go there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because there is no light in him. He said these things, and after he had said them to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, and I go so that I may awake him out of his sleep. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. But Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he had spoken about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, in order that you may believe. But let us go to him. Then Thomas, being called twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we might die with him, being Jesus. Then when Jesus came, he found him already being held in the tomb 4 days, and Bethany was near Jerusalem, 15 stadia away. I think that is miles. Sorry, different translation. And many of the Jews came to Mary and to Martha and Mary in order to comfort them concerning their brother. Then when Martha heard Jesus was coming, she met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whatever you ask, you will ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to you, your brother shall rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Who believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And saying these things, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, the teacher has come and calls you. And as soon as she heard, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house comforted her. When they saw that Mary rose up hastily and went out, they followed her, saying, she's going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary had come to where Jesus was, seeing him, she fell to his feet, at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Then when he saw her weeping, and also the Jews who came with her weeping, Jesus groaned in the spirit and troubled himself. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "Behold, how he loved him." And some of them said, "Was not this man who opened the eyes of the blind able also to cause that even this one should not have died?" Then Jesus, groaning in himself again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who died, said to him, "Lord, by this time he stinks, for it is the fourth day." And Jesus answered her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone where the dead was lain. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you hear me always. But because of the people who stand by, I said it, so that they might believe that you have sent me." And saying these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, here, outside." And he who had died came out, bound by hand and foot with sheets, and his face was bound with cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Then many of the Jews who came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. And many times we find ourselves in a similar place to this. And I want to focus on Martha and Mary and what they're doing and what they went through. Because it's quite a difficult thing to pray for someone that is sick and pray for the healing. And doesn't always go as you would want it to go, according to your own wants and needs and desires. It might be righteous, but it's still your desire when you pray for someone that's sick and they don't get healed. And then in my instance, there's a lot of questions. Am I praying wrong? Am I not fasting enough? Why is this? What can it be? Is there something? Is there sin in my life? And for Martha and Mary, it was basically the same, because, I mean, even the word says that the Lord loved them. Jesus loved Mary, he loved Martha, he loved Lazarus. And it's plainly written in the word. So there was a special bond and a special connection, and they obviously spent a lot of time together, so they knew who Jesus was, as you saw in their confessions as well. So they must have known the promises that Jesus laid before them, the words that we have as well, where two or more are gathered in his name and pray earnestly, it will come to pass. Whatever you ask in my name, it will come to pass. And these are the promises that Jesus gave them. Now, obviously, Lazarus got sick. He didn't die instantly, but he got sick. And obviously got worse and worse and worse and worse. And obviously, as believers, they started praying for Lazarus. Believing, praying, maybe even fasting, I don't know. But obviously, there was a relationship with Jesus and with God, and they were busy praying for Lazarus. But nothing happened. Nothing changed. And we find ourselves many times in that scenario where nothing is changing. What's wrong? Am I praying wrong? Is there something I must do? And we very quickly go from grace to works, depending on that scenario. Okay, I must pray harder. You find people shouting at people that are sick. Nothing wrong with that. But what's the heart? What's the reason for you shouting? God is guiding you for a specific reason to speak to something, a demon or whatever, then so be it. But many times we want to go over to works because we feel that grace is not working anymore. So now it's works. And we make that mistake. And even they, in the Testament, in the New Testament, they also, the question is, what was their response? To have a loved one that is sick and dying, it's quite hard. Many of you might testify to that. having to sit with someone next to somebody's bed that is dying of some disease and actually dying, it really touches your heart, troubles your soul. Because where's your faith? Where's God? Why did he not respond? Why did he not heal this person? Now when Martha and Mary came to a point where they realized they're at the end of their wits' end. Prayer is not working. The doctors might not have been able to help. Then they sent for a message to Jesus, the last hope. There is nothing else to do anymore. It's now only Jesus or death. At that time, it's not like today, quick text, checking, received, read, done. Obviously, that's old time. So, and if you look at the, I did a bit of research. There's a map, Chlody. If you can just show that map. Now, Jesus was beyond the Jordan, and Bethany was a place just next to the Mount of Olives, which is on the your left-hand side, and where Jesus was is where the red dot was. So, okay, you probably can see now how long it will take to travel that route by foot. It's about 8 hours. It's about 30 kilometers as the crow flies, but I don't know the terrain, so I'm relying on maps to show me what is happening. So they had to organize a messenger to send to Jesus and say, okay, please give this message to Jesus. So the message goes out. It takes 8 hours to get to the point. And then you realize it's tough. Because now you sent the message, but you still have to wait now. It's not like phoning a doctor, Jack. And how long before you get to a patient? 10 minutes. 5 minutes. Depending on the car. But we have such a privilege of having doctors that can be at your side in 20, first line of defense, getting at the accident first, assessing the situation, and then deciding what is the best outcome to go from there. Either going directly to the hospital, getting a doctor. So there are many things that we take for granted today. And when you look back at the history, you realize, but things were quite tough then. So obviously they sent this message, and it took 2 hours to go from where they were in Bethany to where Jesus was. And they speak of it was the place where John previously baptized people, and where Jesus was also baptized. So he was in that area. So the message went out 8 hours later. And obviously if they receive the message immediately, it will take 8 hours again for Jesus to walk back. And if you look at the scripture, Jesus received the message and he stayed 2 more days. And then he went. And when he got to the grave, Lazarus was in the grave already 4 days. So by the time the message came to Jesus, Lazarus was then already dead. Which Jesus obviously knew because he told his disciples that he sleeps. They didn't understand what he said, but he realized that Lazarus is dead. So now Mary and Martha is waiting for Jesus, but he did not come. So then Lazarus has died. Now obviously there's grief and pain. And you have to let go and say, but what now? And then you follow the steps. It's obvious. The person has to be buried. And then there's a period of mourning according to the Jewish tradition. And 2 days later, Jesus said, let's go. So basically for 3 days, 4 days, Mary and Martha and all the people that knew Lazarus has already mourned him because they've buried him. So you can obviously from that experience know the emotions, know what it took. And that you feel defeated as a Christian, as a believer, because your hopes, your dreams, everything you put your faith out did not come to pass. And that is when we go to God and say, but God, where are you? Why did you not answer my prayer? And it's so amazing to see what Martha and Mary did. Because you can look at Martha's response from verse 17 to 27. Then Jesus came, and he found him already being held in the tomb 4 days. And Bethany was near Jerusalem. Okay, let's go to 19. Many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary in order to comfort them concerning their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whether you will ask, whatever you will ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother shall rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come to the world. Now, there's a certain response that Martha has towards Jesus. She goes to him and she meets him and says, but if you had been here. Now, saying that to somebody's face feels to me like an accusation. Jesus, you were late. You could have stopped this. And Jesus confronts that attitude and says, but what do you believe? And she realizes to whom she is speaking. She says, yes, I believe that you are the Lord, the Son of God. And then you get to Mary's response from verse 28 to 33. And then saying these things, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, the teacher has come and calls you. As soon as she heard, she rose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw that Mary rose up hastily and came out, they followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep. Then Mary had come to where Jesus was, seeing him. Mary fell to his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And then when he saw her weeping, and also the Jews who came with her weeping, Jesus groaned in his spirit and troubled himself. Immediately a different response. Mary fell at his feet. And it's more confession that Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. That's a very contrasting response that you get between Mary and Martha. And I think Martha responded in a way that she realized, but he is Jesus after all. I might not understand, I might not know what the future holds, I might not completely comprehend, but I believe in Jesus. I've seen the miracles. I've talked with him, I've seen the amazing man that he is. Because she confesses some of the teachings that he gave to us as well. So obviously she has spent a lot of time with Jesus. And Mary is just at his feet. Her heart is at a place where she knows who Jesus is. And that he's for them and not against them. That he loves them. But still the pain of losing a brother was immense. And it was so, I think, so hard for her that it even touched Jesus' heart. That he also wept. As you can see from the word. But then we get to the place where the question comes to us, do you believe? Do you believe what this book is telling you? Say, but Lord, circumstances are what they are, but I still believe in you. I still put my trust and my faith in you. No matter what happened, I can forgive. I can let go. Sorry, I just need my notes. And that is where Jesus then comes and does something for us that always baffles me. He does something that completely is out of line with what you expect, what you were looking for. They weren't expecting that Jesus would go to the grave and say, "Open it." But that's just who Jesus was. He already received the word from God that Lazarus will not die. So he knew that he would need to go to the grave and call to Lazarus to come out. So what is your situation like today? What has been buried in your life? Pain. Things that happen in your life that you don't understand, you can't comprehend. That God would allow it to happen in your life. Now, what is your response? How will you respond when you meet Jesus? And your heart is already for him. What would have been your response if you went through a scenario like this and you came face to face with Jesus and you knew that he could have done something different, that he could have changed the outcome. He could have known the outcome already before and could have come to Bethany before Lazarus even got sick and just healed him. And that is the questions that we have about God, and that we realize that we have got no clue of who God is, what he is, how he thinks, how he does things. And we have to apologize and say, "God, I'm sorry, Lord, that I even remotely want to place you in a box that I can understand." Because God is far above anything that we can understand. But still he comes to us and says that he loves us. And for Mary and for Martha, he said, "Open the tomb. And the death and the life that was taken from you, I will return." Simply because that is the word that the Father gave to my heart. Because I could respond to the word that he placed within my heart. And he showed us the example of how we as Christians are also supposed to live. We're supposed to carry that word of God in our hearts. When circumstances come, and they will, and it's hard, tough choices, we're supposed to be connected with God and say, "Father, what must I do here?" You must expect an answer, not out of arrogance, but simply because it's the grace that God extends to every believer to say that, "I love you. And this is what I give to you. This is the word that I give you, my promises." And no matter the circumstances, God can always change any circumstance. But we have to submit to that Father and say, "God, your will be done and not my own." Because ultimately, he is God. He is in control. And he is Lord above all. And we serve him. And we're supposed to love him. So where is your heart today? Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14, verse 6. And then John 11, 25, 26. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. Whoever believes, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Same question that Jesus asked Martha, and she said, "Yes, I believe this." But the question next to this one is, do you understand this? Martha clearly didn't have a clue of what Jesus meant when he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And he wanted to show her something, but she did not see and understand. So we have to have that knowledge of the truth of who Jesus is and what he wants to do in us and through us, so that we can respond in obedience to what Jesus is laying on our hearts, and specifically for a year that lies ahead. What is your response? But ultimately, the first question becomes, what is God's word for you for this year? Have you taken time to say, Lord, what do you want me to achieve? What is there for me to do this year that you want me to accomplish? And then we have to respond according to his word. Whether that's a dream, a vision, or something from Scripture itself that God is showing you. And then you have to ask yourself, do I believe this, no matter what happens? And it's just something amazing. During worship, God showed me. I just saw the cross. And next to it, Jesus was standing with his hands on the cross and said, do you believe this? Do you believe the story? Do you believe the promise? Do you believe in me? And he just touched my heart and said, but God, yes, I do. Because many times I think we're so focused on the cross alone that we run to the cross, we want to hug a cross, but Jesus is standing with his arms wide open to say, but come to me, all of our burden. I will give you a yoke that is soft and easy to bear. And that's where our focus needs to be. That is who we have to run to in circumstances, no matter the outcome. God will still do what he does. We have to decide how we will respond once we know him, receive his word, and see where he wants to lead us. But do you believe this? And this is my message for you for this year, a question. Do you believe in the faith that you carry within you? Do you have the heart to hope for a future that God is showing you? And do you have the love of Christ in you to love those around you, to show them that hope, to show them that faith, that you might be the light that they need to see in order to have a hope for that future? Amen. Can we all just stand and close our eyes? Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for an opportunity, Lord, of meeting with you, meeting with your people. God, and just coming together as a church, it's so awesome to be in this building again, Father, but it is not about the building, it's about the people, Father, and that's what's getting your heart excited about. Seeing the people, Lord, coming back to your house, coming back to a place where you want to teach them, coming back to a place where you want to impact and change their lives. We thank you, Lord, for what the future holds, for the changes that you want to implement in our lives and what you want to do and what you want to bring about, Father. We pray, Lord God, that we're able to have the seed that is required, Lord, to cast to the soil, Father. And that those seeds might grow and germinate, Father, and bring forth much fruit, Lord God. Not only in our lives, but the people's lives around us as well. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are a God that is committed to us, each and every individual, no matter where we find ourselves, no matter what we think we believe in our hearts, Father, but you look at our circumstances and you know us intimately, completely, without a doubt, Father. And you stand there with the arms wide open, wanting to come and just give us a hug and embrace and say that I love you. Lord, I pray for each and every person, Lord God, under the sound of my voice, that's going through hard times, that's facing difficult situations, Father. That you will be Lord in their lives, Lord God. That you are able, Lord, just to give them that hope, Father. To give them a light that is shining for them to see and to follow. Father, that your word will be spoken to the very being, Father, and they're able, Lord, to receive a word that is building them up, lifting them up, but also calling them out, Lord, to step out in faith and saying, this is my God. This is in whom I believe, in whom I put my trust, in whom I have my hope. For you are worthy of that faith, Lord God. You are worthy of that trust, and you are worthy of that hope. Those that hope in you will not be disappointed. And we glorify you for that, Lord God, that you love us no matter how much and how far we stray, and that you even loved us first, Lord God. It's not because we are great or awesome, Father, but we simply can respond to the love that you pour out over us. So, Father, we pray that you would truly bless each and individual within this place, Lord God, and bless us as a church as we prepare for this year that lies ahead, Father God, that we can look to the future and have our eyes and our hopes firmly upon you, Father God, to show us the way, to show us what decisions we need to take, what people we need to treat better, Father, how to love our families and our friends in such a way that they can truly experience who Jesus is within us. That your will be done, Father, on earth as it is in heaven. And that we can be building your kingdom in a way, Father, that is not only building this church, Lord God, but also building a nation, building the city, and improving, Father, the quality of life of people around us. Lord, may your word truly be a blessing for us and for those around us. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.